Okay, der Klassik. Samachuni Bashisho is Rabduni Batapuchim Kiholas Ava Oni. So the Pasha Pshara Pasik is, in other words, I'm overcome with Ava, and Bemela, I'm weak. I sort of need to be propped up. So Samachuni Bashisho's loaves of bread, I think, in the Pasha Pshat, Rabduni Batapuchim, Kicholas Ava Ani. So that's the Pasuk. Now the Gaon says, Samchini Bashish Batapuchim Pirush. The word Ashish mean two Ishin, two fires. Ashishos. Now we'll see in a second. So the parentheses he has here, so there's something, you know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us two ishim, and these two ishim are. I need to be propped up by something that contains two ishim. So in a pasuk that he brings, it's that there's an ish malo mata. I think it's sort of, first of all, it says hahar boyer be'ish ad leva shemayim, so that means it's going from the mountain all the way to shemayim. And also the second pasuk, in order for there to be a toich, it has to be a lamala and lamata. Mitoich implies and suso, and so there's mala lamata. Bezel bashishis. Now, we'll take a quick look at what he writes in on the Ha'aris here. He says, Ayin pishashirim shtei ishis malamata, dova acha, samchuni bashishis, toyer b'ksav toyer apeh. In the next pirush, over here, in the next derech, he has Tereshu HaPetosh B'Ksav, and he says over here, those are the two Ishim. So Kopanim, you have Ishus. Now let's skim down a bit. Onam Loshon HaBeinu Tikkun Zoya, V'Huvu Likudim Kan, is Samchuni Bashir Speish Ishus, U'mai Nihu, Shrei Teres, Inu Chatsuvis Me'esh, Iyo Lekim Nisagvura. But in your Shidukhanukran base, Aish, Zesh Kosov, and so on. Let me just see one more piece over here. Then he brings Tereshu Pristab Toshba Alpeh. Omni Ishmogash of the world, Tre Ishish Toshba Toshba Alpeh. He brings other Chazal. So basically, whatever it is, there are two Ishim, either Baksab Alpeh, Lamala Lamata, or Chesed Gvura. The truth be said is that all of them fit the same Nikuda. In other words, all of these Ishim are Ishim that are, they consist of two Ishim, and that's why they can prop up the person. So it's the Pshat that the Chelik of, because Torah is Kol in itself, a Mala and a Mata, that's why it can support the person. I want to try a little bit to explain that Kakuda maybe. In the flow of the Pashup Shad over here, a person is overwhelmed by the Rabban Shalom, and therefore he feels faint. And he needs to be propped up, supported. It's like somebody's chalashing needs a glass of water. The inability to stand to withstand Ribbono Shel Olam hashpah, gilu, and so on is because tachtonim be'etzim are overwhelmed by elyonim. It's whenever, it's just like when I take an appliance that's supposed to work on 110, I stick it to 220, it blows. A person is not naturally inclined to be mekabel from Elyonim. When we say that Torah contains two Ishim, when we say that al yonim retach tonim on nichlal, and the truth is, this is Torah Shavuot Teshuvah Peh, the same. Since Torah is one unit of Torah Shavuot Teshuvah Peh, it means that Torah Shavuot Teshuvah Peh are sort of a seamless bridge. You go from one to the other. So therefore, that has the koyach to allow the person to be tefisit. Imagine I'm trying to explain some extreme concept to somebody. The person is overwhelmed by it, he can't be tefisit. And let's say I'd be a phenomenally good bal masbir. So my koyach would be that I can take this profound idea and only use words that person can understand and his language, so that won't overwhelm the person. You find a lot of times you have these books, science books, where they say we'll only use simple math. And so it's better and more cumbersome. It's there's a reason why a person uses math, because he needs that language. He needs the extra language. But somebody who can package that all the extra stuff in simple language is able to get across to somebody who doesn't have these chanas, these kelim. So the fact that Torah, when we say Torah includes the two ishim, means in Torah there's an akuda where the two ishim coexist, where the ishim l'mal and ishim l'mata coexist. And kahu, I can learn chumash the way a 5-year-old learns it. I once saw the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to dash a lot on chumash Rashi, and he had his own. He made klolim on Rashi that he felt were appropriate. And there's one interesting klal that I thought was interesting. He says the first he said is Rashi is made to be used for ben chumash the mikra also. Rashi will not say something that can't also be explained to ben chumash. Since chumash is ben chumash the mikra, so that means the same chumash explains itself to ben chumash the mikra and explains itself to the vilna goyim. Because the two ishim are calling it side the mekablim, side the noisim. Saving student music, chesed music. Those are one is mitzad the noisim, one is mitzad the mekabel. So therefore, Torah has the ability. So a direct hashpach makadosh baruch hu would be difficult for a person. Through Torah, because Torah has in itself this duality, it's possible for him to go with a person. I think that that's the pshat over here.
Uh-huh. So I understand how that would work in Torah Shalmal and Torah Shalmata. How do you understand that in Torah Shabiksav and Torah Shalmal Peh? Because don't we say Torah Shabiksav without Torah Shalmal Peh is kfira, so to speak? Meaning,
but the Torah Shabiksav is, in other words, the Torah Shabiksav is the Torah Shabiksav is the Akash Baruch who said it. Even the Torah Shabiksav that we're talking about, where you give it over, let's take a simple example. Ayin Tachasayin. So in Torah Shabiksav, it says Ayin Tachasayin. That means there's a certain deher of Ayin Tachasayin, taking out an eye. It's not. That doesn't translate itself in our language like that. Our language translates itself as mamon. The Torah Shabbal Peh is how does this din translate itself in Darke Adam and Bemele in Das Adam? How are we to understand it? The Torah Shabbal Peh is not meant to be a negation or an override. It's meant to be a different piece of the same thing.
So I always understood Torah Shabbat Peh to be supplemental in the sense that when the Kleroin would take Torah Shabbat Ksav, so Torah Shabbat Ksav on its own, and I thought there was Memer Chazal that said such that that Torah Shabbat Ksav on its own is Chaser. Torah Shabbat Peh is a supplement that you need the two together. And now what we're saying is that it's more of a definition, right?
It's not chaser. Let's give an example. Let's say every society has its own mores and so on. Let's say I'm a chabad somebody or something. I would like you to do X or Y or Z. Person says no. So in one culture, that means no. In another culture, it means no, but you need to keep asking because eventually the third time I'll be asking. It's a different, there's a term example, and the word chaser is not correct. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not chaser. They are chaser to us. We don't have a kelim to the hair. Ayin tachas ayin would mean anything to take an eye out for an eye. Torah gives us that tfisa, that havana, that that's what the Torah means. It's another way of us understanding what was the intent of it. So it means something, except the meaning of it is meant is interpreted in this world through Mamet.
So Torah Shabbat is a definition of Torah Shabbat Ksav.
Our tefisa is how we ought to understand what it says.
But doesn't that bring a new issue that, like, why are we calling it two Torahs? Meaning it's not two Torahs, it's one Torah, and it's our translation of one Torah.
Correct. And it is, that's what it's like. It's two Torahs because to us, it does seem distinct. In other words, there's the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the way we see it, then there's the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh sees it. But so it looks bifurcated, but it's really one. It's sort of, it's supposed to be seen that, like the stories with the guy at the end of his days, he learned, like, just Chumash, and he saw all of Torah Shel Ba'al Peh in Chumash Merumis as it is, and so on. It's sort of, if I can give you a mashal, a person sometimes when his eyes are weak, or, you know, when you get these drops that the doctor puts in to check the eyes, you begin to see two images. And you know with your mind that there's only one image there, or like a picture's not in focus. But right now I see two images. I mean, and the truth is that's how the sense of the depth works. The eye sees two separate images and the mind puts it together. So I'm seeing two images, but really, it's one by recombining it. That's why it says, I mentioned the Archaim says that there's a chiyuv in everybody to find the Torah. Ramchal says it, to find the Torah Shebe'al Peh in the Torah Shebe'al itself. And this is probably in my mind, I guess Ramchal means it that way. I mean, Ramchal is bothered by a question. He doesn't say it, but I think that's his hidden question. For better or for worse, Torah Shebe'al Peh is what's true lahalacha. Why does the Gemara darshan endlessly psukim about these halachas? So according to the shittas that the Rishonim explained it as a mnemonic device, as sort of to memorize, it's very nice, like you have at the end of a sugya v'simanayach, this, that, or the other. But I mean, a huge, huge portion of Shas is devoted to this. What in the world, I mean, how much, for mnemonic devices, how much more do you want to take up? And according to the other shittas, they darshan it. So tachlis mitzad Torah, finding how it's eingestellt, how it's eingeknecht in the Torah Shebe'al Ksav is part of what the Torah wants from us. That's Torah. It's like understanding. It's like, you know, you look back and understand this is what he meant by this. This is what was meant. Like, you know, it says, so, I mean, look back at things that my Rebbeim said, and they were strange. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what they wanted exactly. And then at some point in my life, it snapped into place and said, oh, that's what he was talking about.
Uh-huh. So Rabbi brings in the Sefer Yisrael Torah, one of the Rishonim, I forget, maybe it's the Chinuch, that says that by Maamar Har Sinai, every member of Gemara and Chiddush and conversation that ever happened between Tanam and Amaron was Nitin Har Sinai, which...
Lashon Gemara, Philip Masha Talmud Vasik Asadis L'Chadish, but you have to know what it means. Is it Kipshutoi, or it means they're hitting home in a correct nekuda. It's like Moshe Ma'adavadai might write something very, I write it very kitzer, and someone reads it and he figures out everything I meant. So I'll say everything you said was written there, but it's bekitzer. In other words, it's a big shy. It doesn't mean Pashas Moshe Rabbeinu knew the etzem, what everyone's going to say, but he knew it in a way that everything they were going to say in it was already there. And he understood it correctly in a way that he could tap on what each one's going to say. That's...
So the Gemara that says that he went into Rabbi Kiva's share and he didn't understand.
Right, the Gemara says, and Lamaisa, the fascinating part about it is, it says, he said to me, I'm a person like this, he can talk to me. Then he heard at the end, Rabbi Kiva said, "Kulo malachu mesh misinai." So therefore, he said, "Nochadaita." So what's the shot? Because he got the credit at the end. It was Nochadaita. The answer is, he thought Rabbi Kiva is another chelik of Torah that he doesn't have. Mm-hmm. He realized that the etzem, this is Rabbi Kiva simply spelling out what he understands b'kitza. The famous Rabbi Tzadik says, he explains that Gemara, quite a famous explanation. He says like this: imagine somebody's a brilliant person, very, very brilliant, and there's a kid that's mocking as if we're trying to understand the thesis. And he's having trouble understanding. At some darga, if the Rebbe is if the teacher is a very, very high darga, he doesn't even have what's bothering the kid, because he sees it clearly instantly. And to understand what other tzaddikim there were, and the whole cycle of Targa is something beyond him. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a Targa, the Torah was pushed to him. And B'meila, the whole cycle of Targa seemed to him, he didn't understand the cycle of Targa. That's what Tzadik writes. Mm-hmm. But the point is, what Moshe Rabbeinu got wasn't all the Shas, all the Chidushim. He got a Havana in the Tfisa and Torah, where anything you say seems attractive as being there, you know.
It's very fascinating, because we find this, I have these kind of discussions very often with clients who, when you're dealing with a certain scale of business, so firms who are analyzing to, you know, let's say buy 10 apartments, will look at the ins and outs and the ebbs and flows of what could happen in these 10 apartments. A firm that's looking to buy 500 apartments looks at it on a macro level, and they won't bother themselves with certain minor details. And when, you know, before we started dealing with things on a much larger level, we always used to think, you know, the bigger guys, they're overlooking all these important details and they're missing the boat. And then as we got, you know, as we grew progressively, we started to recognize that no, when you analyze it on the macro level, you're not missing the boat. It's that you leave a certain percentage for these variables to develop, and you end up being accurate 80-90% of the time, and all these different variables fit into a certain miscellaneous category, but you're accurate on the macro level, even though they seem entirely different versus on the micro level, but both of them are accurate. So they kind of line up, and the way Rabbi's explaining just seems to me to be fitting very, very much in the Torah Shel Ksav. Can be interpreted, you know, it's in a macro sense, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand the nuances and the minute details of Rabbi Akiva, because he didn't need that. He can see it in a much bigger picture.
Right. And, well, let's take another example, simple example. Imagine somebody writes well, but he's not a natural at it. So he took a lot of lessons, learned a lot. So he sits down and he writes, and then he weighs and thinks and he measures and azay and azay and azay and azay. But somebody who's a natural writer, it flows out. And then if you ask him why you use this sense or that sense, well, it fits better. When you press him, maybe he'll be able to explain himself, maybe not. But he has a natural chush as why this reads well and this doesn't read well. Mm-hmm. And the other person has to spell it out. So the one who's a natural may not be a good professor of literature. He can't teach writing because he doesn't inherit the specific natures. And the other one can. But it's not machmas mal yusa. Mm-hmm. Certain machmas ko yusa. Because since I do have to labor over a component, and is this sentence clear? So it's not clear. So therefore, he understands it. That's what the Tzadik's point seems to be by difference. Mm-hmm. So it says, so Ashish is a straight Ishim. For Abduni Batapuchim, then this is completely out of left field. Zechoshech Onan Varafel. For Abduni Batapuchim is Onan Choshech Varafel. Now, how do you get from Onan Choshech Varafel to Tapuchim? I mean, it just has finished the same. Kumesh Kosav Bezeah, Parashus Veshanan, Kumesh Kosav. Yoshes Choshech Sisrei. So the Choshech Onan V'Arafel are three different dargis of Hester. They are dargis of they are dargis of Hanhagis that blunt the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, running things. And he's at the bottom, he wants to spell to the Tlas Kvanim in Tapuchim. We said before that Tapuchim have three Kvanim in it, and that's connected the three basic Hanhagis. And therefore, after the Tapuch, Chosh Chonav HaRafel, you have Chosh Chonav HaRafel, three different Kvanim, and the Mela, that's what it's Meramis to. So let's take sort of the big picture here is, you should be rabbi in Tapuchim, and also says Moshe Kosov Yoshes Choshech Sisrei. Now, my feeling is also that it's the same thing over here, like I said before. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala himself, full force, that's something that is very difficult to perceive. It's like a light that's very, very bright. No one can look at it, and therefore you sense see nothing. In order to be able to use the light and see it, you have to have sunglasses, you have to have something that shades it down, and then you're able to see it. The Inyonim of Hester, the Anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are mastered by Rabbi Yochanan himself, these are the Anhagis, and Bemela, I think that Choshech Onan V'Arafel are three Anhagis, the three basic Anhagis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Master Elikus, which allows us to look into it. So the first one, Samkuni V'Ashishos, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it down to Tfis and Havana, that we can, the Guf Adava is brought down to us to Tfis and Havana that we could understand. The three things here, they sort of prevent peripheral iris, the iris of the areas that I'm not looking at, prevented from blinding me. So just like when I want to look at a specific nekuda, I shut out everything else and I have this at the nekuda. Here also, I'm able because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyeg b'teva, this is a sort of a tevistic anoga, I'm able to go over everything else.
So is there an inconsistency between Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Hei in the sense that the Tapuchim we say in Pasuk Gimel is the Ribbono Shel Olam providing shade for the harmful, you know, for the harmful outside, and hence we're sitting in the shade, versus here the Tapuchim are covering the, you know, I guess the hashpa or the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know.
Right, because here he's talking about give it to me to eat, first of all, and he's saying because I need to help me overcome the choilas arba, the fact that I'm overwhelmed by you. So mm-hmm. I think the context of the pasuk lends itself to it. So the schia for this is the tshuka to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. it's very interesting. Three brings over here one chazal, even though this is parasha, we have the other chazal. Take a look at the bottom, famous Mechilta, parasha Bachayim Shbeis. Rebbe Ima, Mechimam al-Mokim l'moish alem l'Yisrael, Oymam yisol l'moish alem l'mokim, Omru, Ritzaneinu l'shmai mipi malkeinu, we want it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'idei Mashem mipi parvot shmai mipi mel, say l'idei mehem from Moish alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amam mokim ten l'mashe bikshu, Vavu yishma'am, and so on. In this week's Seder it says, they told Moshe Rabbeinu that we can't handle like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi brings a tainer, a tvia, that they should have asked directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. But Al Kohanim, the Cholos Avani is that my tshuka to Sidur Baruch Shalom has overwhelmed me. I've gone far with it, and b'meila I need some buffer. So when a person is mishtoikik, and it's hard to so much of a person is attracted to a very bright light. When we get to that bright light, the light blinds him, overwhelms him. So the person needs to be able to tone it down, and that'll preserve it. So Klal Yisrael is zeicher to this. That's what he says. Kicholos Ava Oni. Kicholos Ava is what they express. Ritzahinu Lusas Malkeinu. Liroi Lusas Malkeinu. Not get it from Mashliach. So that was Klal Yisrael's tremendous tshuka. Lemaisa, Klal Yisrael can't take that. They're overwhelmed by it, like anybody is overwhelmed. And b'meila they need to get it sort of a step down version through. Either on a place by Ruffle or whatever. But that's the flow of the psukim. It's also interesting the word chelas ahava is even though ahava is something very positive, but the chelas ahava means anytime a person needs something and it's not fulfilled, then the person is a chayla. When a person has tshuka for v'rachulam in a way that he can't be fulfilled in this world, then this person, tachlis, is a chayla. Now it's the ava be'etzem is a tshuka, and the chayla be'ava is that if I have a tshuka for something, I need it. So the muscle, every person needs to have vitamin C. If I don't have vitamin C, I get sick. But certain things, the muscle, certain things that are ishtoikikus, the ishtoikikus creates the need for it. So be'etzem, the ishtoikikus over here and the ava, that the cholid is ava, is created by the craving in a person. It's a mark of shvach for us. That we mistake it so much that we create that need, that feel. Okay, we'll hold it here. So usually, I mean, I'm fairly flexible for any given day. We'll be in touch. Let's assume Monday, next Monday, 4 o'clock, and it might be 4 o'clock, 9 o'clock in your time. If you can't,
Okay, fine. No, that should be fun. If Rabbi has lots of extra time, like I could learn tomorrow also and the next day and
I have a lot of stuff piled up. That's
okay, fine. All right. Thank you very much, Rabbi. We'll talk next week.
Amen.
Have a nice week. Thank you.